So, welcome to the last session of the Security Dev Room. Let me introduce Fredrik Skogman with his talk on enhancing artifact security with GitHub artifact attestations.
Thank you. So yeah, my name is Fredrik Skogman. I work at GitHub, and my team is primarily focusing on supply chain security, and I'm an active maintainer in a lot of open source security related things like Sigstore and Update Framework. And also, thank you very much for coming. I know it's super late. You are probably tired. I'm tired, so I will try to run this as fast as I can. Speak up. I will. Oh, sorry. Sorry. This is on me. There we go. So, I would like to talk about artifact attestations. So this is a feature that fairly recently out. So it allows you to provide a way to guarantee integrity from the build step to delivery for everything that's built on GitHub Actions. This way, we like to offer a very simple way to sign all this open source stuff that you're building. So it's been around since summer of 2024, and work started in 2022 when we were doing a similar way for open source NPM packages to provide signed build provenance for everything that's built on for NPM. And of course, it's free for open source to use, so I encourage everyone to use it. And early adopters include Homebrew, so huge thanks to William, previous presenter. So they've been working very hard with us to try it out and make it working. And I'm super excited that all bottles on Homebrew are now signed and built with provenance. Although the Homebrew is still in beta, so we're working on them to kind of clear out the few issues that they're experienced to go full GA. So to kind of describe the problem, I would like to start a little bit with sort of typical signing, how it happens. Like, you have a typical build pipeline. You build something from a source code repository. You put it into the registry. The registry signs it, and then the user can download it from the registry, and they can verify it hasn't been tampered with from the registry. The problem is, what went into the registry in the first place? It's very hard to tell. You just know that it was signed by the registry, but was it a release? Was it a dev build? We don't really know. Maybe it was a malicious artifact being put in the first place. And basically, we're lacking some context of the artifacts when it comes from the registry. You can try to solve it by pushing signing sort of further to the left, but given a lot of the solutions out there, like, it creates a problem around managing the PKI. Like, it's kind of complicated, and not all open source projects have the resources to run like a fully complete PKI system. So that's kind of what we're trying to simplify with this. So with artifact attestations, when you're building something in the action, it's signed automatically by the system, and it's not just signed, it also extracts a lot of metadata around the build, like which repository was it coming from, what are the commit ID, and so on. So basically, we're capturing the context around the build, and via that, we are also including like the exact build run. So we're creating like a paper trail, tracing the specific artifact back to a specific workflow run. So with part of this, we are hosting an entire PKI platform, and we're also doing it by relying on workload identities instead of like human identities. So that gives us a way to kind of simplify the policy processing around it. And the great thing about it is that from a developer perspective, you don't need to manage any key material at all. Like, everything happens automatically by the system, which I will of course describe. So rough, yeah?
Is it cool if I ask a question?
Please wait, if possible.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. I will get sidetracked, otherwise I forget what to say. Yeah, so some of the components, like we have the actions, of course, that you can use in your workflow. We have a CA and a PKI, an attestation store to capture the metadata that's generated during the build. And then we have the GitHub CLI that can be used to run policies around your artifact. And then there's an integration with the policy controller from Sigstore, which is a Kubernetes admission controller. So you can use the same thing to secure your workloads in like Kubernetes way. So everything, well, almost everything is done fully open source. Like, we want to meet the community where it is, so we avoid to, you know, build any custom things that only work with what we're doing. So we're teaming up very much with Sigstore, Salsa, Intero, and Tuff. So a quick introduction is that Sigstore is an open source project that aims to simplify signing and verification for everything. And according to the Sigstore project, they are trying to be like the Let's Encrypt for digital signatures. And it, very interesting with Sigstore is that it's not just a lot of source code repositories that you can use. Sigstore is also a public good instance that anyone can use, and my team are part of that operations as well. Like, we are wearing the pager for the public good Sigstore instance to make sure it's operating as smooth as it can. For describing the metadata around the builds, we are relying on something called Salsa build provenance, and it's a standardized format for distributing metadata for builds. And to kind of ship them around and tie them to the specific artifact, we're using Intero attestations, which sort of create that link between a subject and some metadata, or predicate as it's called in Intero. And then we have the update framework, which is a framework for securing upgrades over untrusted channels. So we are relying on that to manage the trust route, like the root certificates and public keys, etc. So we're using it to manage it and to distribute it to the clients. So a simple overview of the system is that when you're running a build, if you're using attestations or artifact attestations, the system first collects the metadata required, like as I mentioned, repository, git commit, workflow run, the actual workflow file being used. It then extracts an identification token from the actions that uniquely identifies the build, and then we use that to request a signing certificate from Fulcio. And then when you have the signing certificate, we can sign the provenance and we can put it in our attestation store. And then clients can, via the update framework, get the latest version of the trust route, fetch whatever attestation they would like, because they might have a file and they can compute the digest and query our store, and then they will get all the matching attestations for that and then run whatever verification they would like to use. And it doesn't have to be, in this case, the GitHub client. Like, it could be Cosign or basically any Sigstore client will work here. So to avoid the burden of relying on developers managing private keys, Sigstore is heavily relying on something called ephemeral keys or ambient tokens, or you might also have heard keyless signing, which is, of course, just a gimmick. Like, keys are definitely used. So the way it works is that you create an in-memory key pair, and then you send the public key of that together with identity token describing who you are to the CA, who then verifies the identity token via federation to the identity provider to make sure you're not lying. And then it creates a short-lived certificate that's only valid for 10 minutes, binds it to the public key, and then sends it back. Then you can sign via that certificate. And because the certificate is only valid for 10 minutes, you need to think about something to simplify the verification, because you can't rely on the typical certificate verification where the certificate has to be valid during the time you're verifying. So what we're doing here is that we either reach out to a timestamping authority, or in the Sigstore public good instance, we are using a public append-only transparency log that also gives us a timestamp. So we can get a counter signature and then store that together with the original signature. And then when you're trying to verify this, you can verify the timestamp of the signature when it was made. And that way you can see, like, okay, this signature was made during the time the certificate was valid. And this greatly improves the risk of a key compromise, because let's say someone manages to extract a key from the memory, it's very unlikely that they will do it like and compromise a full attack within the 10-minute window. So, yeah, the benefits of using Sigstore here is, like, you get identity federation out of the box. So you have a system that kind of vouches for your identity. You don't need to manage the keys. And especially for artifact attestations, we rely on workload identities instead of human identities. So the identity is basically the organization repository and the workflow. So you don't need to understand like who is the maintainer of this package and something like that. You can kind of look at where should this thing come from, or is expected to come from this repository. So as I mentioned, Sigstore operates one instance. At GitHub, we operate a private instance. The public instance from Sigstore is free for use for anyone, but you need to think that everything that's being signed is also put on a public transparency log. So if you have privacy concerns, it may not be the right place. The instance we are running at GitHub is completely compatible with the public good, so every tooling that you have will work with both of these instances. So the Salsa build provenance, so it's a JSON specification for the format capturing a lot of the metadata. As I mentioned, we have the basic stuff like repository, owner, and the exact workflow file that was being used. It also contains a reference to like the log of the system, like the build log for the action. And importantly, we also encode the numerical identifiers for the repository and the owner. So that's to make sure you can have a policy to protect against like rename attacks or resurrection attacks. You can, of course, browse the attestations in the web UI. And if you don't like looking at JSON data, you can have like a view that kind of summarize what's in the build provenance doc. And these are, of course, UX, like it's continually hopefully being improved. It's definitely continually being changed. Right, so if Sigstore is already out there, there is a public instance that anyone can use. Why did we spend like a couple of years doing something on top of this? And it's to get a better experience for the developers. Sigstore is mostly concerned around signing and verification. Sigstore doesn't really know what a Salsa build provenance is. Sigstore does not provide a solution for storing or discovery of attestations. So those are the things that we have added on top of the existing Sigstore components. Yes. So how to use it? It's pretty simple. If you're on GitHub Actions, you need to add one more step that reference one of the various attest actions we are providing. In this case, it's a test build provenance, and in this example, I'm attesting a container image. And you can see here that also a parameter called push to registry, true, and that means that when the build Docker image is being pushed, we're also pushing the build attestation to the container registry. And the useful thing here is that if you're running, let's say, Kubernetes, you may not want to allow the cluster to communicate with like a random API such as GitHub. So we're putting that attestation next to the image that you already have access to from the cluster, so you can have tighter egress rules. And these actions allows you to attest whatever file that's being produced. It doesn't have to be a container or a package, or it can be basically any digital file, like an SPOM, if you like. So for the verification side, which is the most important, like you should not sign if you're not verifying, then you're not gaining anything. So everything is compatible with Cosign, which is sort of the go-to CLI for Sigstore. You can also use the GitHub CLI to verify, or as I said, like if you're running in Kubernetes, you can use the Sigstore policy controller. So when thinking about signatures, I think it's very important to understand just because it's signed doesn't mean that it's secure. What the only guarantee we are giving you is that we are giving you a paper trail that this artifact was created here. Safe to run? We can't tell. We can only tell where it's coming from. And of course, you need to follow all the best practices on tightening up your build system, like William's presentation is super good on Sysmore, like very relevant technology to use. On GitHub, we have some solutions like you can rely on, for instance, code owners to separate who can modify the build instructions, or if you want to go for a really secure model, you can have a reusable workflow. And the Salsa community provides a builder for most of the ecosystems out there, like Go, Java. that builds the binary for you, creates the build provenance and signs it for you. And the benefit here is that you get a complete separation of concerns, because the Salsa builder is in the Salsa org. Like, a typical developer doesn't have write access and can modify the build instructions. So that's very useful for a lot of people, to kind of make sure that developers can write the code, but they can't modify how it's built. And with reusable workflows, you also get other benefits, such as build isolation. The workflow is guaranteed to run on a separate VM. So if you have, for instance, a place where you're running unit tests, the test might, for instance, modify the file system that can, you know, change the outcome of the build. So it's a really strong thing to use. I just want to mention three recent attacks. Like, it's no grudge against these projects at all for me. It's just that they are very recent and they are very relevant. So in December last year, Solana Web3.js had an attack where someone got a hand on the publish token to NPM. So they uploaded a malicious version that contained, I think it was like crypto wallet stealer, but it's not super relevant. But here, like, if they were using build provenance, you could detect that by verifying the artifact and see that, wait a minute, doesn't have a build provenance, or the build provenance has changed. It's coming from a different repository than it used to be, and that is a strong signal that something may have happened. As William mentioned on the talk before this, Ultralytics had an attack, and in this case, the existence of build provenance proved to be very useful during the forensics, because they could see what was the offending workflow that built this malicious artifact, and that proved like really strong during the forensics. And also, once the first malicious version were removed from the registry, another one was published. And that one did not have build provenance. So if they were verifying the provenance, they will see that the second one didn't have one, which, as I said, like, it's a suspicious signal.